Hey, Chris.
Hey, what?
Are those PEM particles in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
Both.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And we're a day behind, but we're still up to date.
Aw, man, it's all right.
It's all right. We're going to talk about Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Some official trailers.
Yeah.
And the coming apocalypse.
Oh, geez. I think the word official in official trailers is the key word for this intro.
Yeah, very, very official. I actually, for those at home, I wrote teehee in my notes to make sure I giggled my apocalypse joke.
You're like, this is pure gold. I got to write it down so I don't forget.
Exactly. Hopefully, like, the Muppets writers will see my jokes one day and be like, we need you on the show. That's my Muppet plug for
one day, Chris. Well, you better hope the show's successful
so it sticks around. Give yourself a chance.
Yeah, hopefully so. Last week after our Comic-Con episode, we had, what, someone from, was it Iowa who listened?
I believe so.
Or Idaho. Someone from the Comic-Con picked up our stuff and listened and said they subscribed. That's awesome. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. The sticker worked.
It did. It did work. I got mine in the mail this week, actually.
Oh, yeah. Now you can start throwing them all around the Midwest for me.
Yeah. I might
for us.
Just go out to my front yard and just throw them all, and then...
I suggest you slap them on your cats and then let your cats roam free. They'll be like walking billboards. You know, they don't pay rent. They need to do some work.
They do need to work. We're going to hashtag J-Bay. That's what I call one of them.
J-Bay. Do they respond to the word hashtag?
They do today. That's actually something I came up with earlier today when referring to the cats. I'm like, hashtag J-Bay.
Oh, man. Cats are so stupid.
They are stupid.
But we love them.
Who can't love a cat?
Oh, man. You know what wasn't stupid?
What?
A little movie I saw this weekend, pun intended.
Oh. What was it? Was it Minions?
No, that's next week.
Oh, okay. Ant-Man?
Oh, yeah. Let's just bury that lead for not much longer. But holy crap, yeah, we saw Ant-Man this weekend.
So, yeah, I saw Ant-Man. I've only seen it once, though. That's the worst part about it.
Oh, well, there's plenty of time. There's literally hours in the day that you can fill with your Ant-Man joy.
I think I'm going to go watch it at a drive-in this weekend.
Ooh, that'd be fun. I'm planning on seeing it a second time here this weekend. I didn't get a chance to watch it with my wife. I had a chance to see it with my mom. So that was an interesting experience just because this was the first time I've ever seen a Marvel movie with my parents, both at the same time. So it's kind of interesting to see a totally different spectrum of people that go to see these movies that we kind of forget about sometimes.
So I want to point out here, you said your mom, but you also saw it with both your parents?
Yeah.
Why did you pick out your mom more so than your dad?
Well, just because I think probably out of everyone, my mom is probably least affiliated with any sort of like movie franchise. She doesn't really seem to mind. But the only way I could probably gauge my mom's preference of movies was she was really excited to go see Jurassic World, and she even gave me a little movie review. She's like, it didn't live up to the hype. You know, everybody said it was going to be so good, and I thought it was good. It just didn't live up to the hype. So even my mom's got a little movie reviewing chops in her, but. I guess, you know, we can go ahead and start dropping how we feel about this movie. But to start it off, my mom enjoyed the movie more than Jurassic World. So I don't know how much weight that's going to hold with our listeners. But it is, what did we say? It's a Mike tested, mother approved.
Yeah. Mike tested, mother approved. It's like kicks. that was entertaining. I remember that one. So your mom liked it. That's great. That's great. We're going to put that on our box art. For yes. Ant-Man. So cool. What did you think of it, though?
All right. Well, we'll jump into this with non-spoilers because as all of you know, if you're regular listeners, you can go ahead and catch a spoiler cast of Ant-Man right now. You could possibly be downloading it at this very moment, and you don't even know it if you're subscribed.
Or you could have listened to it first if you like to listen to them out of order.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you like to go machete on it. But anyway, I thought this movie was fun. I mean, it was a nice change of pace, you know. We had this giant blockbuster summer so far. I mean, not just with Ultron, but we had Jurassic World. We've had these huge, giant blockbuster movies, and now it was kind of nice to kind of pare it down a little bit, get a smaller story being told in Ant-Man, which was a real delight. I thought Paul Rudd was hilarious, but, you know, I'm a fan of Paul Rudd. I've seen almost everything he's been in, and it's always hilarious.
Fanboy.
I thought the cast was really great in general. I don't think I would put this movie in my top three, but that doesn't mean it wasn't great. I think there was definitely problems in the script. I had issues with some of the motivation of the characters, and of course you get that crop up problem that Marvel always has with the villains. You know, this definitely doesn't help Marvel's problem with creating great villains in the movie, but it was serviceable. It was good enough. I thought this was a good entrance for Ant-Man. I think the character overall is going to fit very, very well into the Marvel Universe, but I don't think anyone's going to put this in last place. You know, I think most people's ranking of Marvel's movies put The Incredible Hulk at the bottom, just because it was kind of this weird, bizarre movie that's kind of attached, not really attached, but it is, and people forget about it. I'm sure there's some people out there that haven't even seen it that are huge fans of these movies.
I tell you what, that should be a podcast for another day. We should rank our Marvel movies.
Oh yeah, but yeah, definitely. But basically, Ant-Man's not near the bottom. I put him towards the top 50%. But yeah, you guys should all stay tuned for the spoiler cast, because I want to jump into all these little things. But I'll leave it.
I see what you did there.
But I'll leave it as definitely go see this movie. I would recommend it wholeheartedly. It's a lot of fun, and my mom liked it.
Exactly. So I agree with you. I think I gave it a 3.5 out of 5, and I had a lot of fun with it. I think it's, you know, that I give it top three origin film. Iron Man 1 and Guardians are ahead of this. Mm-hmm. But it sits above the first Thor and Captain America and Hulk in my book, mm-hmm. as for first film outings. It did great. And you're right, it got down to a small scale, and I don't mean that in, like, you know, it's ants, but, like, it focused on characters with families, mm-hmm. and, like, the family, you know, troubles family have. And I think it's a wonderful film. It's a slower build than you'll see other Marvel films, mm-hmm. but that pays off in the end.
Yeah, and we kind of finally got a nice little change of pace, like we see in all these Marvel movies. They all kind of almost pick their own little theme, and we got a little heist theme in this movie, which was fun and unique, and who knows if we'll ever see another heist superhero movie, so that was cool.
Yeah, the supporting characters in this, all new supporting characters in this, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Great additions to the Marvel world. A lot of people rave over Michael Peña's role.
A lot of people rave over that. He was hilarious. I hope he comes back in the MCU at some point in time, because we don't have any Ant-Man 2 slated in the next couple years. But I gotta get me some more Michael Peña. He's too hilarious.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say most of my stuff also for the spoiler cast. We want you guys to listen to that. But I definitely say it's a must watch. I'm gonna go watch it again. And honestly, as much as I've forgotten about Age of Ultron, Ant-Man sticks with me a little more. Than I think Age of Ultron did, simply because it's a smaller story. Like, it's not all in your face,
and it is more unique too.
Yeah, and yeah. So some fun facts about that before we move on to our news. It was actually number one this weekend. Ant-Man mm-hmm. was great. It had $58 million domestic, which is actually the second lowest for a Marvel film behind The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, but I hear it's not too far off the opening weekend of the first Captain America, I believe.
Right, yeah. I think they were like the 60 to 65 million.
Yeah, so it's not too far behind, but...
But it did a great worldwide.
Yeah, but so. It still it hasn't quite recouped its budget, I don't believe. But we all know it will. It'll get around to it. But we shouldn't be too worried. I don't think they were ever expecting this film to break box office records. They just really needed a good entrance to bring Ant-Man into the universe, and now he's here, and he's slated, and he's ready to kick some butt in the future.
Yeah. The biggest thing was Minions. They didn't know if Minions would actually be higher than it or not this weekend. It's Minions. It's kids. That thing's taking over the world.
Yeah, and plus Minions was on its second weekend too, and they still considered it a threat. So they knew they had some opposition coming up, but you know came out strong. And go see it. I think it'll do good next weekend too.
Yeah, if you're a Marvel fan, it's a must see. Even if you don't like big superhero movies, it'll get your fix until we get Deadpool. I think this is the last one until Deadpool.
Yeah, take your moms. Yeah. They're gonna know who Michael Douglas is.
Choosy moms choose Ant-Man. Yeah. Is what you said. So, all right. So we're gonna jump into news. How about that? How's the news sound?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So Doctor Strange, gonna go right at it. Tilda Swinton confirmed she is the Ancient One.
Oh man. So I'll go ahead and I'll let you kind of educate me because, you know, I'm really looking forward to the Doctor Strange movie, but my knowledge base on him is very, very small. I had a chance to watch the animated feature that Marvel has on Netflix. Hopefully it's still up there because I recommend everybody watch it.
It's a good one.
Because it plays along a lot like an origin film would. It just happens to be animated. But I can't, for the life of me, I can't remember if the Ancient One was in that movie and what they looked like or what they did. So maybe you can fill me in.
Yeah, so the Ancient One is essentially the person who was the Sorcerer Supreme kind of before Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. And that's where we learned sorcery and magic from.
Okay.
And it's always been like an elderly Chinese male, but the Ancient One's a title more than anything. Uh-huh. And, you know, they talked about Tilda Swinton being that role. And some people had their hands up in the air, like, why would you do that? Like, it's a Chinese role. But it's always been a title rather than a role.
Yeah.
So it's the person who teaches Doctor Strange how to do magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think they die and, you know, it becomes like another motivation for Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be plenty of, if people are clamoring that they're taking roles away from the Asian American community or the Asian community in general, I don't think they should be too worried. I mean, the whole Doctor Strange mythology really kind of flows around this kind of Eastern kind of magical powers. So I don't think they're going to totally like whitewash it or anything. I don't think we can expect a Last Airbender going on here. But I think it's cool. Tilda Swinton has this very kind of unique presence to her, and I think she's going to bring a lot to the film. And I'm just kind of more curious what Benedict Cumberbatch is going to look like with that goatee. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some photoshops, but I want to see it in the wild.
Yeah, hopefully D23 brings us that look for that.
Oh man, D23, man. You know, now I'm kind of excited that Marvel kind of took a step back from Comic-Con because you know we still had a great Comic-Con because we still had a great showing from Warner Brothers. But man, now we got something to look forward to next month. I think D23, is that towards the end of August? Is that towards the second half of August?
I think it's near like the 22nd or so.
Oh man, that's going to be great. So we're only like 4 episodes away from that then, and that's going to be that's going to be so much fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So I'm going to go back to Age of Ultron. We talked about that a little bit. Should have brought this up. There's no director's cut for the film planned, and I don't think there ever will be one. A lot of people were asking for one. But director's cuts kind of interfere with the cinematic universe, what's canon, what's not canon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Marvel plays around with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of disappointing. I mean, I don't know if I've had a chance to say this on the show or not, but, you know, when I rewatch movies, I don't do it that often. But one movie I have rewatched quite a lot is the first Avengers movie. And, you know, one of the few movies that I actually own physically on Blu-ray, and I loved listening to the director's commentary from Joss Whedon.
Well, and, you know, there will be commentary.
Well, yeah,
and deleted scenes, but no repolishing cutscenes.
Yeah, but it's just gonna be such a shame because I would have loved to kind of see Joss Whedon's entire vision without the studio kind of looming over him, like chopping stuff out, cutting stuff out. I want to see a version of this movie where Thor's pond swimming adventure makes some sense. And it's kind of a shame that we're not going to see that, but I'm still looking forward to the director's commentary. But, you know, I'll be a little bit sadder when Joss Whedon brings up parts that got cut out that we may or may not see or won't be composed into a whole film. But, you know, I don't know, man.
I understand why they won't release one. I think at the end of the day, like, we understand why they're not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Is because, you know, they've built this cinematic universe and all this continuity, and then a director's cut can come through and essentially, you know, put questions on that. And Marvel's been pretty tight even since, you know, Iron Man 1.
And yeah, you know what's probably going to happen, though? This could be just a gimmick to make more money. You know, when, oh man, can you just imagine the box sets that is going to come out when Phase 3 is totally done? There's going to be some sort of massive, like, filing cabinet that you have to buy that houses all these movies, and then they'll finally give you the Age of All-Time Director's Cut, because it'll give someone like you, who's going to own all these movies individually on Blu-ray, a reason to go buy this filing cabinet.
Yeah, well, I tell you, they did announce the Phase 2 collector set. Like, the Phase 1 had the briefcase.
Uh-huh.
They announced Phase 2 collector set as soon as Ant-Man released on Friday.
Oh, wow.
It's the orb from Guardians of the Galaxy is involved.
Okay.
And it's every movie in 3D, Blu-ray, and digital.
Oh, wow.
Phase 2. So it's still 6 movies, but it comes with a collector, like, power orb.
Oh, okay.
So you're not far from the truth.
I'm telling you, it's going to be like a filing cabinet, and they'll just, like, brand it, and they'll make it like a S.H.I.E.L.D. filing cabinet or something, and then everything will be top secret, like that briefcase.
I hope it's an Infinity Gauntlet with the discs inside.
That would be pretty cool. I think, and then hopefully, I don't know if they could do it, maybe they could find a way you could put the Infinity Gauntlet on. That'd be so cool. I got to get me one of the Infinity Gauntlets, man.
I tell you, Infinity Gauntlet heat warm, like glove, like oven mitts.
Uh-huh.
That's my goal. I want to get Infinity Gauntlet oven mitts so I can feel powerful when I'm in the kitchen.
Only if it's like that of glove material. I fucking love my of glove, man.
I don't know what an of glove is. I'm going to have to look into this. Product okay, placement on the show.
It's basically that, it's basically like a branded version of those oven mitts, but, you know, oven mitts are usually like mitts. This is actually like a glove. You know, each finger can, like, grab the tray and stuff. Okay. Yeah, so it makes more sense for the Infinity Gauntlet.
I'm on board with this. So,
oh man, get on it, of glove. Pay for that that Marvel licensing fee.
Yeah, or we'll just do it ourselves. I don't care. Spider-Man had some news this week.
Oh man, I don't think I heard of any of this news, so this is gonna be good.
They have the potential writers for the film.
Okay.
As John Francis Daley and Jonathan M. Goldstein.
Okay.
They were rumored as directors, if you remember correctly. They were in our short list of directors when we talked about Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
They've done Cloudy with a Chance 2, Horrible Bosses 2, the Vacation movie that you're vehemently against. They wrote that as well.
Oh, man.
Again, you can't hold their writing credits against them. We've seen, you know, Marvel has an ability to turn things out from people who aren't really, you know, like Peyton Reed had Yes Man. And I think, was that cheerleader movie? Is it Bring It On or something like that?
Uh-huh. The classic?
Yeah. So, like, he had those under his belt. So, I mean, we can't say much for them, but that's just kind of popped up on the news this week for Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, that could be interesting. I think if you kind of look at both of these movie credits, they're all comedies. You know, I think that bodes well for Spider-Man. I think they
It'll
always say that...
It'll be quippy.
Yeah, they always say it's much harder to write comedy than it is to write a drama, just because, you know, it... You know, it's hard to be funny. Sometimes it's relatively easy to kind of tap into some inner despair and write something depressing or sad or emotional. So I think this is pretty cool. This is a good idea.
Yeah, on board. Also on board for Civil War.
Oh man, the reason I'm on board is a little bit of a spoiler. So you'll have to just. I don't know, just wait around into the ether until you figure out what that means. But, oh, man, I'm excited for Civil War.
Aren't we ever. So a little bit about Martin Freeman. He talked about his role in the film.
Uh-huh.
He is a liaison for superheroes and works for the U.S. government. So he's not British like we thought he was. Or he might be British, but we thought he was could be British government.
Yeah, well, he still could be British. I feel like that British accent sometimes. Yeah,
he could be British, but he doesn't work for the British government.
Yeah, that's true. He can still be American and have that British accent, but I think that'll be cool. I like the idea of a liaison between superheroes, because that's almost what Coulson used to be. You know, he used to be kind of the middleman the guy in the middle who was kind of just having all these things looming over him. I don't know if this is going to be kind of more of a comedic role for Martin Freeman, or if he's going to be kind of more of a hard ass, like laying down legislation, or what's going to be going on. But Martin Freeman's great. I've loved him in everything. He's always excellent.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I cannot wait for more Sherlock with him. I'm kind of glad the Hobbit movies are over, thank God, but give me more Sherlock with him.
Well, I think they're starting to film next year. So we probably got like 2 more years until we get more Sherlock.
Well, they have a Christmas one coming out this year that I've already filmed.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, we'll get a little bit then for Christmas.
Yeah. That's is all I've ever wanted for Christmas. Is Martin Freeman. But yeah, oh well. Thor Ragnarok, another Phase 3 movie coming up a little bit longer down the line. Jamie, I can't think of her last name. Now I feel horrible.
Alexander?
Jamie Alexander. Yeah, good call. Yeah. She has confirmed she will be back as Sif in that film.
Can you tell I've Googled that actress's name before?
I can. I have as well when we talked about her being in S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's about it.
She's a pretty girl, but, I mean, I don't think any of us are surprised that she's going to be returning.
Oh, you incognito search Jamie Alexander is what you're saying.
I don't know what you're talking about. I deny everything.
Yeah, plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth. Yeah, but anyway, I mean, Sif coming back is not a surprise. I'm kind of expecting the more jealous Sif to kind of come to a head. I mean, we've gotten kind of hints of it throughout the film, but she's always been, like, adamantly in love with Thor in the comics. So we haven't really gotten much of that, and I think if anybody knows me well enough, I really don't like Jane Foster in any of these Thor movies. I think she's pretty throwaway, and I don't really care too much for her. So I'm fine with, like, Sif taking over that role.
Yeah, I mean, we can only hope that Natalie Portman, as great as she is, doesn't come back for more Thors.
Yeah, I think anything else could be better. I mean, this would be great for an opportunity for Marvel to start killing some good guys. We haven't really seen anyone die in a while. So
Thor had his mom die.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Man, it shows you I haven't seen that movie in a while.
That's all right.
Yeah. Thor, go ahead and continue the trend. Kill off Jane Foster.
Right, get Natalie Portman out of there. A lot like Star Wars did. Which brings me to my next topic, Star Wars!
Star Wars!
We had to get louder with it because we've been getting shit from not being loud enough on our Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, the hype is real, don't worry.
The hype is so real. this is for Star Wars Episode 8, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This is news as of today, like 30 minutes ago. Benicio del Toro has been offered to be the villain in Star Wars Episode 8.
Benicio del Toro, what can't you do, man?
Well, that's a good question. I love him in Snatch. That sounded dirty. I'm sorry.
Well, you didn't say in the, so you're fine.
Oh, okay. Great. Good. No, I mean, I like him that. He's a collector in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, as we all know. And he's still in there. He's not dead. He didn't die. So he must be a good guy in Marvel's terms. But, I mean, yeah, that's really about it. We don't know much about 8. It's directed by, is it Gareth Edwards, I believe, who's doing Star Wars Episode 8? So, pretty excited for that.
Yeah, that's cool. Hopefully, I think he can bring a lot to the role. And, man, I think I'm more excited to see how the dark side's going to shape out in these new Star Wars movies, honestly, than anything else. Just because we don't really know much about them yet. You know, we can kind of guess and hear some rumors or get some attachments from these books that aren't technically connected to the story anymore. You know, but I really want to see what the motivation for the dark side is. I mean, obviously, they're basically supposed to be pure evil, and the Force is supposed to be pure good, but I want to see where these gray areas cross.
Yeah, probably on the color spectrum, if I was a betting man.
Oh, God.
Oh, well. Bad jokes. Oh, well. That's our Star Wars news. We're going to move into something a little more serious. Let's break this down. All right, I'm going to set my chair backwards here while I talk about this.
Oh, okay.
San Diego Comic-Con 2016. Did you watch any leaked footage out of there? Or 2015. Did you watch any leaked footage out of there?
Well, I don't know. I feel like now you're kind of outing yourself as a bad person if you say you watched the leaked footage. But, I mean, who can resist not watching leaked footage? I mean, after I saw it, I kind of wish I wouldn't have watched it because I didn't know Suicide Squad would be released officially, like everyone else out there knows. And I felt like kind of some of the wind was taken out of my sails when I finally saw it in like high def HD. So, you know, maybe I will have learned my lesson. But at the same time, it's just like, it's kind of like, I don't know. Let's just get the news out of here.
Yeah.
And so, I can elaborate more.
So Warner Brothers has every year, for as long as I can remember, has bitched about people filming footage in these auditoriums, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, short of them taking everyone's phones and making sure everyone gets them back at the end of the thing, like, people are going to do it. This is something that's going to happen. And honestly, they are saying that we don't want to take footage to San Diego Comic-Con anymore because of the leaks. Uh-huh. And I'm on the fence of, like, boo fucking who. Like, I would never have been as hyped for Suicide Squad as I am mm-hmm. had that leaked footage not has showed me. Like, I was not on board until I saw that footage.
Yeah, I mean...
But you talked about, you know, it becoming official, which is our next topic, actually.
Uh-huh.
They did not plan to release that. That was not going to come out until that leaked footage got so popular and so famous, and, like, the reaction was so strong that's kind of why they released the official footage.
Yeah, it's just kind of a strange circumstance when you think about it, because... These trailers are supposed to be exclusive to that convention hall, and it's kind of supposed to be the reason. It's supposed to be kind of a reward for waiting in line all day, for, you know, being the super fan that makes it in there, that sits through the other panels, sleeps all night in a sleeping bag outside the convention center. You know, this is supposed to be your reward. And so I get why they might want to keep it exclusive to the con. So it's kind of this weird thing where it's just like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, if you release it officially along the same side, I mean, you're kind of taking out a lot of the reasons people are going for the con. I mean, like, you can see everything else online, you know, streamed like high definition, nice close up. You know, you don't have to worry about not seeing anything. So it's just kind of weird. I mean, I wonder if maybe they could alleviate it by saying, like, okay, this is exclusive to Comic-Con, but the official trailer will come out in like 3 days or 2 days or something like that. So maybe that'll keep people from recording it because, you know, be like, oh, the high def official version is going to come out, or at least keep people from watching the leaks. Like, it would have kept me from watching the leak if someone said, oh, this is officially coming out in a couple days, you don't have to watch the leak. I would be like, oh, okay, that's great.
Well, I agree with you. I think if they are going to show this footage, they should show it there first and then release it for people at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, we live in a world where people who go to the Comic Cons, they're connected, they're reporting on the Comic Con,
uh-huh.
you know, via, like, their reactions are coming via tweets and social media and so forth. And, you know, Batman released almost immediately after the trailer was out, right? And it wasn't because uh-huh. of the leak, they were actually going to release that.
Mm-hmm.
Much better reaction. I think people embrace that as well. But I mean, we talk about the Deadpool footage, like, that blew us away. And that was mm-hmm. just, like, in the little corner of someone's small phone.
Yeah, and I mean...
I'm ready for the trailer. I kind of wish they'd had that either the next day or 2 days, you know, and in good faith, not like this, not because, you know, they're bitching yeah. about it. Because I think that would honestly get more talk about it. I mean, again, we're going to talk about the Suicide Squad official trailer next, but, like, I was not hardly as on board with that film as I was until I saw that footage from yeah. San Diego.
I think it's safe to say that in any way you think about it, it's hard to feel bad for Warner Brothers, because, I mean, like, it's a trailer. It's not the film. Nothing's really being pirated here. People are doing everything they can in the world to see your advertisement, to see your commercial. I mean, like, holy crap. Any brand out there, anyone selling, like, Toll House cookies would love you to pirate and leak their commercials so people would see them and get millions of views. So it's just kind of like, you know, we get it, Warner Brothers. You kind of want to manage the control of the release of everything. But it's just like, boo-hoo, at the end of the day, people are still excited for your movie, so right. I don't feel bad for you.
I think if it had gone the other way, if the footage was, like, if it was a really bad trailer, like, not quality, but, like, movie-wise...
Uh-huh.
Like, people are like, oh, well, you can't judge a movie based on the quality of a leaked trailer. It would be the other uh-huh. way around. And either way, I don't care. But we got some Suicide Squad official footage, and I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, so I mean, it was kind of hard to pinpoint everything that was going on in this trailer because we did talk about it last week. You know, we were able to kind of get the vibe and the themes that were coming out of the trailer, but now we finally got like a really nice high definition, clear, crisp view of the trailer. So now we kind of can make some speculation for what might be coming to this movie.
Right. First things first for me, and I don't know if, I don't even think I've talked to you about this. At the beginning, we have Amanda Waller, the leader of the Suicide Squad. You'd be familiar if you watch Arrow, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about putting someone, seems very singular, in a hole and throwing away the hole. I think she's talking about catching the Joker.
Yeah.
And I think that she's caught the Joker, and the Joker stuff at the end is more of a, either towards the end of the film or like a like a start to the film, like when Batman's chasing him, as we see in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And that she's caught the Joker, and since he's up, she can use him as leverage to get these other guys to do what they want, since the biggest of the bads is put away.
Yeah, because it does kind of make you think, you know, how do you get all these bad guys together to fight a bigger bad guy? I mean, like, you kind of need to put someone up there that's really, really big, you know, and it makes sense for it to be the Joker. I kind of like that we can kind of speculate what's going to be going on in this film and that we didn't get, like, a very clear description. I think the most bizarre thing, even though it makes total sense, is seeing Batman. I almost would have expected that they would have kept Batman entirely out of this movie. You know, it seems almost kind of like in a movie full of villains, you know, the second we get a glimpse of a hero, all I'm going to want to see is Batman come in and kick all their teeth in, you know, which explains the grill on Jared Leto's face. And I'm proud to say that we can pronounce Jared Leto's last name. Been listening to a few podcasts in the last couple of weeks that just can't nail down his last name. It is Jared Leto, people. But anyway, I really am curious what Batman is doing in this movie. I have a feeling it's going to be in a very limited capacity. I don't think he's going to be in it very long, but I want to know what he's going to be doing in there because I think that's going to be super fun.
No, I agree with you. I've always said that this is a Batman movie without Batman, and uh-huh. They kind of added Batman in a little bit because it's all Batman rogues, if you mm-hmm. look at it. I recently finished playing Arkham City this week.
Uh-huh.
Finally beat that, and I bought Arkham Knight on sale, so I'm going to start playing that. And a lot of these people are in those Arkham games.
Yeah, he got to fight all of them.
Some of them, yeah. Some of them. But, again, it's very vague. We have over a year till this movie comes out. It's August mm-hmm. of next year. But I'm on this board. I'm on the train. I like looking at the characters. I think Harley Quinn, her first, you know, live-action role, is mm-hmm. they nailed it, mm-hmm. honestly. And then the creepy enchantress with that Kara, I can't even pronounce her last name. I don't want to look stupid. But the enchantress scenes look very demonic if you went through the trailer and like slowed them down.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Captain Boomerang with his mutton chops.
Yeah, that's going to be the one thing that I'm curious how they're going to pull that off, because boomerangs, any single way you cut it, are just silly. I don't care if you put poison on them. I don't care if you put poison on them, blades. I don't care if you lace it with AIDS all around it. Like,
that is sadistic.
There's no way to make a boomerang like serious. And I mean, and you even got a little glimpse of it in the in Arrow. I think it might have been last season. Where we got a glimpse of some boomerang action, and it's just so silly. It's just stupid. So I mean, like, I almost kind of wish that they call him Captain Boomerang, and they're just like, oh yeah, well, I know it's a dumb name, and then he just pulls out like a shotgun and he just runs around with a gun all the movie, because it's just bizarre. So I don't know how they're gonna pull off the boomerangs. So that'll be interesting to see.
And it's Jay Courtney, and I just want to punch him in the face. So it's a character everyone's supposed to hate.
Yeah.
And then Killer Croc actually looked pretty good in live action, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, yeah. We got that high-def kind of look at him just in some nice demonizing light. And I think he's going to be super, super cool. I'm hoping he has like some sort of vicious tail attached to him that's just been hidden in some of the official photographs and the trailer that we've seen. Because I'm hoping like he just like strips off these like trench coats and hoodies he's been wearing. And he just looks like this like ferocious lizard. I think that's going to be super, super rad.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And then, you know, to cap it off, the Joker at the end. You know, his exact lines are, you know, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad.
Yeah,
how's that make a great line, that, man. I mean, that's Joker. I mean, as much as we gave him shit when he cast, just like Ben Affleck. We always give tons of people shit before we see anything. And, you know, I will say I'm eating a little bit of crow, so to speak, on that. I'm okay with it. Honestly, I am very okay with it. They did a great job. The tattoos don't look as stupid in real life as they do in still photos. I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say. I'm kind of liking this. It's not really an alternate reality that they're making or an alternate universe, but Warner Brothers is really crafting this kind of unique structure of these superhero movies where they're basically saying, we're going to do whatever we want to these characters, but don't worry, you're going to get the movie that you want. I think we didn't really get a great look at the tattoos because we didn't get to see a whole lot of the Joker, but we saw enough that I think it looks kind of cool. You know, we haven't seen any Marvel superhero or any Warner Brothers superhero much later in their villainous or superhero career, something brand new that Warner Brothers is doing here. So who knows if it would have made more sense if they started in the beginning at the very, very origins of these characters, and then towards the end, the Joker got these tattoos. Maybe it would make more sense, or maybe people would enjoy it more. But you know what? I think the glimpse that we got of Jared Leto being the Joker was super cool, and it's not going to be the last Joker we ever get. There's going to be more Batman movies in the future past this franchise, just like there were in the past, and there'll be new Jokers, and our kids will grow up with different Jokers, and we'll tell them the day when we were kids growing up, we had these excellent Jokers. So I think it's cool that we're getting different renditions. I mean, people are going to complain if we keep getting the same shit every movie. So we're getting something unique. Stop complaining.
They're going to complain if they get that anyway. It doesn't matter. But yeah, and it's definitely different. And I think it ties in very closely with the Batman versus Superman movie coming out next year. Because if you saw that trailer, it looks like the Joker was leaving messages on some of the stuff he had.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a new picture of Batman. We kind of saw a little scene where he's wearing like sand goggles, like, you know, like a desert storm Batman, I guess is what I call him.
Yeah, that's what the action figure would be called, indeed.
Yeah, and we saw the scene quickly in the trailer, but now we have an official, you know, crisp image of Ben Affleck in desert storm attire.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to talk about this because not only does the image just look badass, I mean, this is like a grizzled, awesome-looking Batman. I mean, he's got that bat chin. He's got the Batman 5 o'clock shadow going. And I kind of wanted to bring this up. I had a chance to catch like the last half of The Dark Knight Rises on cable this past weekend. And, I kind of got to see... I got to see the, I guess, quote-unquote, old Batman costume in the last three movies, and it almost kind of looks silly now after seeing this official, like, Dark Knight Returns graphic novel-style costume. I mean, he almost looks puny in those older Chris Nolan movies. So I think this new costume is just super cool. It's right on point, and I think him needing to be in an area that is desertified or has sand all over the place just makes me think that this movie has a very big scale. We're not going to be stuck in Gotham. We're not going to be stuck in Metropolis. They're going to need to go to other parts of the globe. They're going to need to be doing some sort of crazy adventure. I want to know why Batman's in these goggles. That just makes me even more curious. And it's just so cool. I'm so infatuated with this costume. It's just so rad. So if you slap goggles on it, it just gets cooler.
Yeah, so something, if we look at the trailer compared with this image, and that's kind of what I'm going on here, Superman lands in a, like, sandy tunnel that has the same people that Batman's fighting whenever he's wearing this costume in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And these soldiers, they kind of look, you know, kind of like the Hydra people in the first Captain America movie, mm-hmm. but they have the Superman logo on their helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting why they'd have Superman soldiers in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if maybe Batman's trying to get to the bottom of where Superman is, so maybe he's kind of hunting down these Superman-inspired extremists.
It's way too early to speculate, I think, but I mean, that's just something interesting that, you know, another question raised before we go into that movie, even.
Yeah, I heard some possible rumors that maybe this part of the world that Batman is in, he's kind of on a journey to find Wonder Woman. You know, maybe he's trying to track her down to help her... so he can help her fight Superman. I don't know. I think it's cool. Just raises lots of questions, and it's just a badass image.
Yeah, totally. Check it out. It's on the video.
Mm-hmm.
And our notes. So, some other footage that leaked out of San Diego was Deadpool, but we know now, this is our bit of news here, we get that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks' time. Ryan Reynolds was nice enough to tweet out last week that we'd have it in 3 weeks. It's been a week. The clock is ticking. We got 2 more weeks. I guess they're working on some of the CG to polish it up. You know, there's no way of telling really how polished it was off of that leaked footage. So
it was very Polish.
Yeah, maybe we'll be rewarded. Maybe the trailer we'll see, maybe we'll have a couple extra seconds of some new stuff. Maybe they'll reward us for our patience. That'd be kind of cool.
I do hope so, because that movie comes out in February. It has, I guess I forgot, Fantastic Four comes out in August. When I was saying that Ant-Man it's was easy, the last superhero.
It's honestly easily to forget that movie's coming out in August, but we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, so anyway, but I mean, it comes out in February. They need to start kicking up the marketing for it if they're going to, you know, try to sell R-rated film over time. So yeah, hopefully patience pays off, knock on wood.
Yeah, but we will be talking about that for sure in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Speaking of patience, though, the Road Cut came out this week of Days of Future Past, and I happened to pick it up.
Oh, yeah, you said you'd let us know, so let us know, man.
It honestly doesn't make that much of a change to the film. Like,
I only laugh because, like, I think we've talked about this Road Cut on at least 4 or 5 different episodes, and you're just like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Really not. I'm glad I bought it, because it comes actually with the original cut of the movie, too.
Uh-huh.
But, like, there is one scene in the future, or one scene in the past, between Mystique and Beast.
Uh-huh.
And then I think there's one more little short one in the past. But most of it's in the future where they have to go get Rogue. Mm-hmm. And it's just replace Kitty Pryde with Rogue, and that's pretty much it. The scene where they go get it could have just been a bonus scene, like on a, like mm-hmm. extra features. Like, I don't know. I now have 2 copies of this film on my shelf, and I'm like, well, I saw it. I don't know what else we want to do with it. So my
was it a deleted scene, or was it actually like stitched into the film?
It's in the movie. There's a rogue cut of the film. Like, there's 17 extra minutes of footage of it.
Gotcha.
My initial review of the movie still stands. I think I gave it 3.5 out of 5. I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
I didn't care for it as much as everyone else did,
mm-hmm.
because I don't like the future scenes nearly as much as the past, the ones in the past.
Do you think they made the right choice cutting out that portion of Rogue?
I do. I think everything they add, I don't think it needed to be Rogue. I think that's just kind of fan service to tie her into the original trilogy, because she's the focus of those first 3 movies.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I feel like I'm going to shoot myself in the foot right here saying this, but usually if they cut a part out of the movie, it's for good reason. But as I was just saying, I want to see that Age of Ultron version. But at the same time, I feel like I needed more for that to make sense. So this is kind of different, you know. Days of Future Past, you know, didn't really matter who the character was that was kind of keeping Wolverine in the past, as long as he was there, because that's where all the good stuff, that's where all the fun stuff was. But with Age of Ultron, I have questions I want answered. Damn it.
Yeah. So if you want to, if you don't own Days of Future Past, pick up the Rogue Cut. You'll get both versions of the film. And other than that, you know, you're not missing a whole lot by not watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next X-Men movie. How about that? You want to go to next X-Men movie?
Let's roll into that.
Apocalypse had some big releases over the week to coincide with San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the full teaser footage now. We don't have just a clip. We have the full teaser footage. The link is still live. If not, if our links are down, tweet us and I will put them up. I have all the footage myself.
Well, Apocalypse is still only leaked, right? We don't have the trailer yet.
Right, it's still unofficial, but they did have Entertainment Weekly, did a whole big piece on all the mutants and all the characters. So you're going to be looking right now at an image of our first official looks at Psylocke, Apocalypse, and Magneto. I'm going to go with the good, the bad, and the ugly on this. The good, Psylocke. Damn, that's right out of the comic books.
Yeah, I mean, it's on point, that's for sure.
That is a comic book costume on Olivia Munn, and it's unapologetically the costume from the comics. The bad, I wouldn't even say it's bad. Magneto looks pretty awesome with that red.
That's, uh, he, So he looks badass, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, he's a, that's a very Age of Apocalypse style armor. His hair is not long like the comic. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But he that red armor is awesome on him.
Oh, yeah, that's sick.
And the most controversial theme is the way Apocalypse looks.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, though, because, you know, in this official poster kind of cover that we get right here, he's looking very blue. But, you know, in some of the screenshots or the leaked images we got of him, he's looking kind of purple, which unfortunately is connecting him to a character that I'm not surprised that more people made the connection to that I made the other week. He's looking like Ivan Ooze, man.
He is looking like Ivan Ooze. And I think mostly, I mean, it could be the lighting that's horrible on that one and uh-huh. the way he looks. But if we look back on those images, there's one where we see him from behind, right? His suit, he's got a bunch of wires and pipes running out of his suit on him.
Uh-huh.
And that's very comic book-like. I will give them that. Like, that feels like it. He's got that big thing that kind of makes his neck look tall on the back as uh-huh. well. Some people point out it kind of looks like Cerebro. Like, he has his own built-in Cerebro on his head.
Yeah, possibly, you know, that would make sense because, you know, you're automatically, like, taking out some of the strongest mutant powers from defeating him. You know, so I think this is cool. His costume is very much connected to that after credit scene that we got in Days of Future Past with the whole, like, Egyptian theme of, like, ancient mutant and stuff like that. So the way he looks great. What I'm honestly expecting, I'm reserving my judgment for now. I'm expecting that he's going to have another form. I'm guessing towards the latter half of the movie or towards a turn in the movie, he's going to transform. He's going to get giant. He's going to get bulky and he's going to get massive and scary. You know, that's what we want to see. And that's what we expect from Apocalypse. So I think this is basically like, this is what he's going to look like the majority of the movie when he's like pulling the strings and making his master plan go the way he wants to. But I think when a big massive battle happens, he's going to be like some giant yoked up massive scary mutant dude that's going to be like crushing faces.
Yeah, I think there's more to it. You're right, and we're going to be treated to it much later. Mm-hmm. On top of that, all these pictures that we have here, you can check them out through our links because there's just so many to put in the video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get confirmation Quicksilver's back and he looks to be in like an armored suit, like an X-suit. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of mutants in this film. We got Mystique. We have Professor X. We have Beast. We have Moira McTaggart coming back, actually, from First Class, played by Rose Byrne.
And we got Scott Summers that's looking like a straight-up dweeb.
Yeah, we have the original five mutants. We have a young Nightcrawler. We have Jubilee, looks pretty good, too. Like, very comic mm-hmm. book, or I guess TV show counterpart. Storm with the Mohawk, of course Cyclops, and Jean Grey. They all look really great to their comic book like counterparts. This is probably one of the first times I'll say that for these characters. If we look back to the Bryan Singer X-Men, X2, great films, did not look like comic book people. Now yeah. they're going back to their comic book looks and feels.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's kind of weird because, like, you know, after Days of Future Past, my hopes have kind of been arisen. You know, I feel like this movie is going to be pretty good. I'm definitely excited for it. I mean, we got a while until it drops, but I think this is going to be really cool. The Ivan Ooze-ness, I think, is just kind of just for fun. I don't think it carries much weight, but I'm excited to see a Quicksilver kind of come into the team. I saw some news online that he's going to have a bigger role or a larger scene in this film, which was our favorite part of Days of Future Past, was his kind of slow-mo, super-fast scene.
Yeah.
So getting more of that is just that's just awesome, man.
Yeah, definitely. I think Apocalypse – I mean, we have Apocalypse, Civil War, and Batman vs. Superman all within 2 months of each other, 3 months of each other next year. Mm-hmm. And if we can make it through that period there, we're going to be left with some beautiful – comic book movies, I feel.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
At least two out of three.
Yeah, I mean, we've been bringing this up for months now, that 2016 is going to be a big year. I mean, we were happy for 2015 because we were getting Ultron, but man, 2016, that's kind of going to be the mother load.
Yeah, and I have to get married in all the middle of all this, so I don't know what I'm going to do with life.
I really hope when you guys pick a date, you look at the movie release calendar.
Already,
you do not.
Already done. Already done.
Oh, man, that's my boy.
I even planned around San Diego Comic-Con next year just in case.
So. Oh, man. That's how you know that you're listening to some dedicated hosts of your podcast.
Yeah.
But they're planning their wedding around the news.
But I don't want all the people who would go to San Diego Comic-Con to go there instead of my wedding. Duh.
Yeah, exactly.
So, exactly. Something people probably might go to, Fantastic Four. Maybe? Can we segue with that? I don't know. Give us a rating on that. I need someone holding up scorecards. Yeah, how's your segues? There are no end credits on that film. Like, don't wait through, apparently, according to the people in the film.
You want to know why? Because they're like, this movie's not going to be that good. So why are we connecting this to a sequel? I don't know. I mean, like, this is definitely counting your eggs before they hatch, for sure. Just because I feel like even if there was an end credit scene, it would be something awful, like on those last Amazing Spider-Man movies. Man, it's just – okay. So basically, this is what we want to talk about. We finally got a new trailer.
Yes.
It's the last trailer before the movie comes out. Obviously, there'll be TV spots or whatever. But this is the last trailer. We finally got a good look at Doom, and we're going to talk about that more specifically. But I mean, like – this trailer is just kind of more of the same. We haven't really gotten much new. We're getting very generic lines throughout this trailer, like, oh, we can't beat them separately, but we can beat them together. Oh, I'm going to need a fireproof lab. Everything just kind of falls flat, you know. But I might sound really, really down about this movie, but I'll tell you one thing, Chris.
Tell me. Ed.
I am down, and that is a good, good thing. Because I want to go into this movie with rock-bottom expectations, so I can only go up from there. Because I don't want movies to fail. I don't hate the Fantastic Four. You know, I want it to be good. I wanted Amazing Spider-Man 2 to be good. You know, I want these films to do good. You know, it would be great if they got a sequel, even though they've already announced it. I think that's still on shaky ground, because I want to see them team up with the X-Men in the future. I want to see that combination where they have to come together and beat some sort of giant villain that I can't even think of one off the top of my head of who it could possibly be. But I want it to do good, but this just seems so average, so just not special. So, you know, I'm hoping I walk into the theater and I walk out totally wrong, because, you know, I want a good Fantastic Four movie, man.
I think we all do, and especially more so me lately. I've read a lot more Fantastic Four comics in the past year than I've ever read them, because they tie into the Secret Wars series that I love oh so much in comic books. Just to do a comic book plug, you should read Secret Wars. But something about this trailer that I really wanted to point out, I talked to you and sent you images of this, they changed all the orange to green.
Yeah, I mean...
And again, you shouldn't probably do trailers before most of the effects are done, as you could learn. It might confuse a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me sit a little more uneven than I did before, if they're not sure what kind of color the movie should be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's something as simple as how the movie looks. And I mean, it's kind of one of those situations, you know, where you're looking at this movie and going, are they going to get their shit together before the movie even comes out? I mean, I think the change was good. I think they made a right choice kind of making it green. It makes it look more alien, more alternate dimensional.
Very, very cosmic-y, yeah.
Yeah, because when it was orange before, it made you think, oh, are they on a volcano? Are they still on Earth somewhere? Did they get transported to the sun or something?
They're the center of the Earth. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, oh, my God. But it makes more sense that that they're in an alternate dimension this way. But, I mean, like, we've heard nothing but confusing reports about the production of this film.
Well, they scrapped the 3D less than a month before it comes out.
Yeah, they had problem with the director at the very beginning of this movie.
It's surrounded in turmoil, and it's not selling me too much. I'm gonna go watch it probably just once. Fox has been on the up lately, but this might be something where they should have stuck by keeping Daredevil and giving Fantastic Four to Marvel. Instead of the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to see some insider info into their production offices or in the executive offices somewhere. There's a number written on a whiteboard. And if Fantastic Four achieves over this number, they'll green light the sequel. But if it goes under, we're not getting any more Fantastic Four. And I have a feeling that number is really, really low, because they're going to, like, if this movie sucks, you know, they're going to get a new director, they're going to get new writers, they're going to try to do the sequel better. But, I mean, this...
I don't think it'll suck. I don't think it'll suck. I think it's going to be in a 2.5 out of 5. It'll be a competent film. It will be a competent film. And as long as it makes back its production budget, it will get a sequel. Because, yeah. A, superheroes are all the craze. B, you know, Fox has weathered some rough X-Men critical films, mm-hmm. but they still made back money.
Like, yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, we had, you know, X3, and then we had Wolverine the Last Stand before we could get First Class. And I think they could rough through an even film, one that just kind of evens itself out, and give us a second one.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess before we jump off this topic of Fantastic Four and kind of wrap up the show with our last couple topics, Doom, what's up with his face?
I don't know. It now matches the actual cosmic realm they were in.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like maybe his suit has been melted onto him.
Yeah, I don't know. If you kind of look at the detailed look of his face, it almost looks like they took Doom's metal helmet and morphed it into some sort of fleshy face. He's got it looks like he's got slits on his mouth from where his mouth was. So it's just a bizarre looking Doom. It's kind of weird. I don't like the way he looks, but I don't think what everyone else is clamoring for will work. People want this classic Doom of him in this iron suit with these, like, you know, these green sashes and robes around him. I don't think that would work on screen. That's very cartoony. It kind of feels Hanna-Barbera to me a little bit, or Johnny Quest. It doesn't seem like that version would fit well in the film, but I don't exactly like what they picked.
I think if they... Like, Doom wears the mask because his face is disfigured beyond belief. Mm-hmm. And they've never really touched on that. Even in the first two films, he wore the metal mask, but mostly because, like, he was turning metal rather than, you know, showing that he's a disfigured person. That's why he wears it, so he could, you know, maintain his authoritya in Latveria. So I think they could do it if they did it right, but I don't think they're willing to give it a chance to do it right. But, oh well. Doom... Fantastic Four is happening. We have 3 weeks till it comes out. I think we should do a spoiler cast on it, a brief spoiler cast, but I think we should still do one.
Yeah, I think we should definitely talk about this film, for sure.
So, awesome. Ghostbusters, that's our new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, for now, until we get some more TMNT news.
I had no Turtles news. So, the names of actually the Ghostbusters were revealed, and that's really about all we got. I'm going to go through these. You give me a thumbs up or thumbs down as I name them off.
Okay, if I approve of the name, okay.
But I need a verbal thumbs up and thumbs down.
Okay.
All right, so we have Kristen Wiig will play Erin Gilbert.
Sure.
All right, it's not Erin Brockovich. I'm a little disappointed. Kate McKinnon has the most Jewish name, Jillian Holtzman.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Melissa McCarthy is an Abby Yates.
Okay.
Leslie Jones is Patty Tolan.
Okay, these all seem like very legible, pronounceable names, so good on them.
Well, I mean, if you compare them to the classic Ghostbusters names, we have, what, Venkman? And I can't even think of the other Ghostbusters names because, again, it's not so much to my heart. But, you know, we know, like, if you hear Venkman, you know it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was almost hoping with these reveal of these names that maybe we would get some sort of last name in there that tied them to the other Ghostbusters movies. But, I mean, honestly, we've admitted that we don't know a whole lot about the previous Ghostbuster films, or at least we weren't, you know, big fans of it. So even if somehow these characters, like, were related with the last name, I wouldn't have been able to pick it out. But
Egon Spengler, like, they just seemed more iconic.
I don't know. I still want to see this Ghostbusters movie. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think I need to rewatch the other ones as well. We'll put that on the to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, TV news. Got some TV news real quick. A couple things.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, we now have the first look at the Season 2 Flash costume.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is literally the first time I'm looking at it right now.
It was at San Diego. Did you see the Flash costume at San Diego Comic-Con?
I did, but I didn't realize it was a new costume. I think that just goes to say this looks very similar to the other costume.
It does. The biggest thing people have noticed is the white outline for the chest piece. That's very iconic. Apparently his comic book version has had the white piece, not the one we're used to. I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
Yeah. I think it just means that the people on the show care about Flash's look. You know, it just goes to show you when a show pays attention to the small details, they're going to pay attention to the small details of the story. And I can't rave enough about the show. So, I mean, just seeing this photo just makes me excited. I mean, like, you know, we're not kids on summer vacation anymore. So I'm kind of clamoring for summer to be over so I can get back to watching The Flash, man.
Aren't we all? You could also be watching Xena Warrior Princess again, apparently.
I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of Xena.
I don't know that I have. I think I remember accidentally watching it because it was like right on after Conan Barbarian on like TSA or USA or TNT sometime, but like just kind of flipping through. But there's talks about it to do a reboot. It's all rumor, but I just want to toss it in there. That was news as of today. So all Xena fans, you know, pay attention. Listen to
it. Yeah. But oh man, we had some pretty good news this week. I was excited to talk about this stuff.
Yeah. It was a quieter week after San Diego, but we have a spoiler cast this week as well for everyone to listen to.
Yeah. Please tune into our spoiler cast about Ant-Man. We're going to talk about all the Easter eggs that we came across. We're going to go in depth about everything, about the two after credit scenes that we got.
Stay all the way.
Yeah, about all the nods to all the special things in the universes. And man, there were some uniquely funny just action scenes and just stuff in this movie that was just great. So stick around, download that spoiler cast and give it a listen, and we're gonna let you guys know why you need to go see the movie.
Yeah, and Mike will not be as vague for that one as well. So
yeah,
we're gonna stop using pronouns and actually go in with the actual words next time.
Yes, very true.
So all right, so it's been a good show, about an hour's worth actually. It's probably one of our shorter ones. Mike, if they want to continue following you after the show's over, where can they do that at?
Well, if they want to follow me, they can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or Instagram. And, of course, as always, you can go read my webcomics over at pickledcomics.com. Boom. What about you? What about you, Chris? Where can they find you? Where can they find out when your wedding is going to be so they can organize it around their busy schedules? Because I'm sure you want a bunch of our fans at your wedding.
Right. So I'm working on a wedding website, so you can sign up and give me gifts on my registry.
Yeah.
Some things will be comic book related. But you can follow me at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N, on Twitter, and also Valdan1987 on Instagram. I'm going to throw that in today. Throw in the Instagram for once. Most of the stuff I post on comicui.com. Read that up. We're actually looking to redo the website. If you have any feedback on it, what you want to see going forward, let us know. We're looking at redoing some of that.
Oh, awesome, man. That's super good news. And as always, please visit superheroslate.com, and that's where you can find all of the links to everywhere that we put the show. We try to put it out on every single avenue you could possibly subscribe to it, so you don't have to make new accounts for new places. You know, you can hopefully you have an account for something that we have it up on already. So,
just listen to it in the browser. You don't have to have an account to go to superheroslate.com.
Yeah, that's true. And one thing that's always like super helpful, if you want to head on over to iTunes and leave us a review for our show, that helps our from what I hear from experts' opinions, that helps us show up in more related searches on iTunes. So when people are trying to find some superhero podcasts, we'll pop up and be like, hey, listen to this. This is good. People like it. People review it.
Yeah. So totally. We also want you to go to Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr. And, you know, we don't have a big, you know, a Facebook fan base yet, but we're hoping to push it. So if you just give us that little like on Facebook, just give us that little like.
Yeah.
Or the little follow on Twitter.
We are firing this show out of a buckshot rifle. We are not shooting this. We are not shooting this out of a precise space-guided satellite precision laser beam. This is a very much a cluster bomb.
Yeah, we're going to hit something, and whether that's good or bad, we don't know yet.
And guess what? We hope we hit you.
Yes. Pow, right in the kisser.
Well, this is a good show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next week. I'm looking forward to everyone else listening. But if you want a little bit more, head on over to the Ant-Man spoiler cast, and you can hear us talk about all the goods.
Awesome. Well, we will catch you guys next week.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.